Kelman on CliffCentral.com.
All right, actress Lubie Mboya, over to you.
Hello, hello. Am I live? Am I on?
You're on. It's all
the
up.
The girls are just giving each other big hugs. What's up, sisters? What's up? Happy Women's Day. How's everybody doing? Okay, so let me introduce myself. I hope you're listening. It's Lubie Mboya Arnold.
Ah.
I'm married. Dichatile. So you know what? In this day and age where it's hard to be monogamous, you know? It's hard to find a good guy. It's hard to find the greatest guy. It's hard to find a guy who is emulating like your dad, because I'm a daddy's girl. I don't know about the rest of you. So all of those things really, really make it a blessing to be married in this day and age. And I really, from the bottom of my heart, open up all the avenues of luxury and blessings and opportunity for all of you to meet the right guy. Yes? So I was saying, my name is Lubie Mboya Arnold. I'm an actress. I'm a social justice activist. I'm an athlete. I'm a thrill seeker. I'm a renegade. What else am I? I'm an educator. I'm a scholar, but more importantly, I'm a futurist. So as Ari said, I've got a show here called Future CEOs, and this is what I have to tell to you about me. I started off my acting career at 22 years old on Isidingo Nandiba, as you all know. And you know what, ladies, it was a great roller coaster ride. HIV positive said it was great, social justice, what, meeting people, standing for something, growing. But at 38, like 22 years later, I'm like, I want to write my own scripts. I want to direct my own movies. I don't want to work on other people's schedules. I don't want to work on other people's time. So Future CEOs really is and truly is an entrepreneurial show. And I'm sure our ladies here will talk to us about what it means to be your own boss and have your own business and create your own destiny. So Future CEOs really is about advocating and amplifying and catalyzing entrepreneurship. And I love working with the African girl child, because of course, I'm that. I was that. And it's so important for me for them to not to make the same mistakes I did, but at the same time, for me, mistakes are truly the gift that keeps on giving, because I have to learn, and I had to learn the hard way. And why I say I'm a renegade, because I like breaking rules. I'm full of S-H-I-T. I hate authority, but at the same time, I never want to blend in. I believe we have to be unique. I believe that we all have this essence that we want to leave a mark somehow in the world. We don't necessarily have to be as iconic as Mamwini, you know what I mean? But whatever it is, the smaller it is, it's the change in the right direction. So for me, Future CEOs is everything, because I really want to impart the knowledge that you have to go to create your own realities. And it's time, and it's time again, that you are told what to do, where to be, and what time to be at work. And maybe that's not your biggest passion. Maybe that's not even your purpose. So what are you going to do about it? So me, the critical things are meeting people, networking. What we like to say on Future CEOs, and what we like to say in our business with Nonzamo, is that your network is your net worth. Hang around with the best people who are going to give you those opportunities. And also, don't have the PhD syndrome, which is, what's that? Pull her down. You know what, I was just at Constitutional Prisoners, Women's Prison, for the Mzansi Feature Film Festival in. And it was so cool, because we were just women. And because it was just women, we didn't get the turnout as in media-wise that we wanted to. Because it was a men's forum, SABC would have been there, whether we've been filming all week, you know? And the topic of discussion was Puller Down syndrome. And it's not just in the arts or in the media. It's everywhere that we go. But what I learned and what I got taught, because I'm not going to lie to you, I've been a perpetrator of that. Because that's just a state of, oh my God, you know, she might be better than me. What if that happens? I'm 38 at the moment, so I've had the cycle of being the young, hot, happening talent, but it's about the karma. That's what I feel about it. But also at the same time, we like to pick on things that we can see and touch and feel, but don't forget, and this is what I learned, that it's a patriarchal system. That's the beast that we live in. And it's so easy to say, that bitch, she didn't give me access. She should have mentored me. Why is she hiding? Why is she shying? Why is she not being generous? Why is she not being free? But that's exactly the beast that's at play. It wants us to attack one another. You know what I mean? It wants us to say that light-skinned girl versus that dark-skinned girl, that white girl versus that black girl. You know what I'm saying? That skinny girl versus the voluptuous girl, that older girl versus the younger girl. It likes us having this disruptive element within us. And at the end of the day, the patriarchal system's laughing all the way to the bank, because actually they didn't have to do anything. we're doing it for ourselves. So just be wary of the systems that are alive and kicking in 2016 on Women's Day. And this is the places that we work. This is the places where we are educated. This is the places where we socialize. This is the parties that we go to. This is where we train. It's everywhere. So just before you beat down another woman because you think that she's beating down on you, think about the bigger picture. Am I talking too much? What else do you want to hear? What do you come here to find out? What did you want to get out of this at the end of the day?
Definitely nothing that's
going to
waste my time.
Absolutely. So far, so good. You know what? I'm going to hand it on and then I can come back to me if, you know what I mean? Let's keep it going. Ne?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yo. That's going to be difficult to follow, okay? We were saying just before that you're in your 30s.
Yes.
20s. Not sure.
30s.
And I'm in my 40s.
20s.
So what's nice is that you got a nice mixture of different leadership from different age groups over here. And my life's pretty different from what yours was. I've recently been bestowed the accolade of managing director at TBWA, but it's definitely not, of HDI Youth Marketeers. And you know what I love about it is that two other amazing women are in that set, or were brought in as directors as well. So now we're called version three because we've got three cool leaders that are heading up this new company. And my life story is very different. I grew up in a really small town and we were part of six kids. I was one of six kids and I was always told, if you want to make it big, you need to be a nurse or you can be a policewoman or you can be a teacher. And I was like, oh my goodness, life's choices. And I decided, okay, I'm going to be a teacher. Let's just nick that one off the list over there and go and be a teacher. And I was never happy. It's that thing of you want something more in life. There must be something more to this. There must be something different. Mm-hmm. And I got the opportunity to start with HDI 19 years ago, and I haven't looked back. I've literally climbed up the ladder, the ranks. I never said, I can't do that. I've only got a diploma in teaching. I always said, oh my goodness, I can do that. I can do what you're doing, and I could probably do it better than you, but I'm going to do that job. Mm-hmm. And then I go to my boss and go, listen, yeah, don't you need someone in that position? I'd like to be able to do that. And it was quite interesting for me that people look at you and you're not just. How many of you are not just over here? You're not just a student. You're not just an actress. You're not just a singer. I was not just a teacher. The funny thing is that HDI was founded by another teacher who also had a dream. And my husband used to love it if I worked at HDI because we were a woman-dominated company. We were just women inside that company. And over the years, we realized, okay, life is about balance. You need to bring in a little bit of change, a little bit of different thinking. And today, we're sitting with leadership again. That's sitting with a woman-dominant leadership over there because we think differently as well. I love my job. I love walking into that job every day. I take every single challenge that comes my way and go, nothing is too small or too big that I can't work it out. And no one said that you're going to do this and it's going to be easy. Flip it. My mom always told me when I was growing up, you're going to work for it. We weren't born with money, so you must know you're going to hard work. You are going to have to work hard to get it done. And I grew up with that idea. I knew I had to work. So no one told me what I couldn't do. I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. And I'm going to do that job over here. Now I'm the MD and I love it. Because now I get to tell other people. Yeah. And I want to be an MD that encourages people that work with us to be better. Knowing that every single one of you can make a difference in the job that you're currently in. So you're not just another person. You are going to be successful. It took me 19 years to get here. Are you prepared to wait? I mean, it's taken them much faster because it's a different industry. I think in this industry, we've also seen it's been a male-dominated industry for many years. Even TBWA, who we work with internationally and over here in South Africa, is we have a vision that in 20 years, in 2020, we want to increase the number of women management within the industry, and that's exactly where we're going to go. So whoever's out there that wants to come and make a difference, we love meeting new talent. I love meeting new people. I think life is like that. And it's exactly what you said. It's about who you keep company with. And you're not too small or too insignificant to keep company with great people that are going to make you great out there. So yeah, that's our like a challenge out there.
Hello everyone. So my name is Karabo Popi Moletsane. I'm 24 years old and I'm a self-employed illustrator and graphic designer.
So
as you all may know, when I was in high school, that's around 2010, there weren't many self-employed illustrators, female and South African. So I kind of was left with a little bit of a challenge, and I went to an all-girls school that was very competitive and that had a certain mold of what the epitome of a successful pioneering woman would be. And here I was, the complete opposite of what that mold said I was. So it kind of left me with a little bit of an identity crisis because I didn't have this template that I could work from or a method that I could follow to almost achieve what I was looking for. So being a teenager in an all-girls school, I kind of looked to inspirational people that kind of followed this unconventional path and then have it bode well, even with its difficulties, but to kind of get some sort of a frame of reference. So I looked at Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. She was the first African female president. And being in grade 8, that absolutely blew my mind. And I always sat and wondered, how do I do this? Because I don't know how the subjects that I took were going to help me. And it was very difficult seeing how science, maths, Afrikaans, English, all of that would get me to this journey. And kind of looking at Maya Angelou and Oprah Winfrey at the time, here were a lot of women that looked like me when they were younger. There were black females that did the unconventional, have it bode well for them, and actually made a difference in history and brought on this template that I was yearning for when I was in high school. And I kind of thought to myself, how can I be that for the next illustrator, graphic designer, black female that is looking to do the same thing? So upon kind of researching those three women and looking at their stories, I kind of noticed three really important traits that they would all do. And the first one being that they were pioneering women. They were at the cusp of their industries. They were the first ones doing things. Even if they didn't know where the journey would end up, they weren't fearful of making the first steps. And I was like, okay, I can do that. Not to say that it would be easy, but at least there's a frame of reference. And the second thing that they did was they worked with what was in their hands. They weren't trying to do what they saw someone else was good at. They took the gifts and talents that they had and they made it work and ended up making history with that. And the third one being is they were ordinary women, like all of us. They didn't have elaborate budgets and finances, came from affluent families. They were ordinary women that took what was in their hands and did something extraordinary with it. And I think therein lies the traits to giving, like getting ahead in your careers and industries and actually being successful, is if you take these three things and actually being a woman, I think we're already a step ahead in applying those three things naturally. And it was very difficult. I was kind of asked to talk about how to go ahead in your industry and a successful career, and I think I'm still learning that currently, so I don't know that these three traits will necessarily work, but I have a good feeling that it would, because one of the most important ones is being an ordinary woman that does extraordinary things, and that doesn't really I think that's something all of us can do. So yeah, that's me and kind of the journey that I'm currently following.
This is going to be so hard. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Unomza Mombata. I am an actress and I'm a storyteller. What you just spoke about now, it reminds me of a quote that I used to live by when I was in high school, not too long ago. It said, do not go where the path may lead. Instead, go where there is no path and leave a trail. And that's what I've always wanted for my life. So my name means she who strives. And the story of my life is of resilience, basically. I've always been very, very resilient when it came to my dreams, when it came to who I am, when it came to who people thought that I was, who people thought that I was not. So I've always had resilience about that. And resilience about my dreams, resilience about what I'm passionate about, and resilience about the voice of my heart and the voice of my spirit. And this week, this month, actually has had so many questions around what's the legacy that you'd want to live. Guys, we have such a huge responsibility. Yeah. You know, what's in generations to come, what are they going to say about this generation and its message and its fight? We can talk about the 1956, we can talk about 1976, but what are we going to say about the 20th century? So we have such a huge responsibility to create paths as women of this country, to change our narrative of how the world views us, to change the narrative of how we view ourselves. Because if we don't do that, we run the risk of the patriotic system thinking that we are sitting in a dark corner and we have no voice and we have no place in society and we must shut up. And you're too emotional. I hate that. Ugh. You know when you have an opinion as a woman or as a girl? You're too emotional. Your point. Yeah, boy, you know what I mean. Yes, I'm emotional. I'm a woman. Next. So when I speak about resilience, I mean, I didn't come from a very affluent family. I came from a family that was doing okay. We had our struggles. We had very, very interesting struggles. And I was groomed. I was groomed by the Guamashu Township back in Durban into who I am, and into how I think, and into what I want for my life, and into the voice that I have now and finding it. I grew up as a young girl who didn't like what she saw in the mirror. I didn't think I was a pretty girl. I had boys. I mean, don't get me wrong, y'all. Excuse me now. I had boys chasing. But self-image was such a huge thing for me. So I thought to myself, when somebody tells you that they're pretty, it's their opinion, and an opinion is very subjective. So how do I control the narrative? If there's anything that you need to do as a woman, control the narrative. So how do I control the narrative? I'm going to be smart. I'm going to make sure that I'm super smart at school, because being smart is objective. It's a fact. Sorry. Numbers don't lie. Because that's nothing, that's something that no one can take away from you. So work on that as a woman, as a girl, as a human being. Work on something that no one can ever take away from you. Your work will always speak for itself. And that's the only way that we can win. Your work and your mind will speak for itself. So I've always been that person. And that's why now I can be, I don't like mentioning this, I can be on the cover of Cosmo wearing like a skimpy little, I can be on the cover of Cosmo wearing my little skimpy shorts, you know, giving my best pose and a nice pout like, we see you, Miss FHM. We don't forget. Do you guys know that Uhlubi? Yes. You know, yes. Sexiest woman. So, we see you, girl.
Let me say something. It's amazing that women have such insecurities, and the ordinary eye would never think that she thought of herself as an ugly girl, child.
No. I know.
And it's so, no, like from the deepest of my heart, we all think, oh my God, she's got her shit together.
Yeah.
She's beautiful. She's always known that she's beautiful. Mm-hmm. She attracts that. She is that. And then she comes out and speaks such a truth that something we all have. There's an insecurity that nobody knows we all have. You know what I mean? But the world sees us differently. So it's so special and it's so valuable for women like you to express those insecurities that you had, because maybe somebody here has got that and they don't know that they're going to bloom. You know what I mean? And it really does, it's a special gift that you're giving out. You know what I mean? Because people think you've got it all together, Em.
But I don't.
I know, but people must understand that we also have the things that have broken us.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So nice to hear.
Thank you. But I just believe in living my truth, and it's important for us to live our truth. It's important for us to wear our faces and wear our hearts and wear our spirits and wear our souls every single day. It really, really is. Don't ever leave yourself at home. So I didn't have money as well to go to varsity, so I had to hustle, get myself to Cape Town, get myself accepted to UCT, get myself a little bursary, you know, hustle. And when that bursary was taken away, getting myself to get nurse was to holler at a girl. But it all comes from resilience and just having resilience for my dreams and resilience for my purpose, whatever that purpose is. And finding the power in not knowing, because people always want to take that away from you. When you say, what are you going to be? I don't know. What are you going to do? I don't know. It's okay to not know. It really is. So many people put up this facade of knowing, and it's okay to not know. And one of the key things, besides Steve Jobs's commencement speech at Stanford, do yourself a favor and please watch that. Please watch that. On YouTube. If you can be on Snapchat and Twitter, get in your life, get on YouTube and watch that commencement speech at Stanford by Steve Jobs. It's one of the most incredible things that you'll ever see as a human being. But there was a moment, was it last year or 2014, with Matthew McConaughey won the best actor at the Oscars for his portrayal in a very, very beautiful film called Dallas Buyers Club. Stunning film about the struggles of HIV and AIDS back then, when it first came out. And everyone thought it came from the gay community. You know, it was a gay disease. Look where we're at now. And in his commencement speech, he thanked a couple of people. And then he said, there's a few things, about three things to my count that I need each day. One of them is something to look up to. Another is something to look forward to. And the third is someone to chase. He thanked God because that's who he looks up to. And then he thanked his family because that's who and what he looks forward to. That those are the people that bring significance and courage and courage in who he wants to make most proud of. And then he said, and to my hero, that's who I chase. Now, when I was 15 years old, I had a very important person in my life come to me and say, who's your hero? And I said, I don't know. I've got to think about it. Give me a couple of weeks. What's the first couple of words? I don't know. I mean, he said, I come back 2 weeks later. This person comes up and says, who's your hero? And I said, I thought about it. It's me in 10 years.
Oh, that's not the y'all.
So good.
That's not the And then he says, so I turned 25. That's 10 years later, right? The same person comes to me and says, so, are you your hero? And I was like, not even close. No, no. She said, why? I said, because my hero is me at 35. So you see, every week, every day, every month, and every year of my life, my hero is always 10 years away. I'm never going to be my hero. I'm not going to attain that. I know I'm not. And that's just fine with me, because that keeps me with somebody to keep on chasing. So to any of us, whatever those things are, whatever it is we look up to, whatever it is we look forward to, and whoever it is we're chasing, to that I say amen. To that I say all right, all right, all right. So thank you for having us here. Thank you for spending your Women's Day with us. What you wanna know?
Some incredibly powerful conversation. I know, I've been sitting in the back listening in awe at all of this. This is fantastic. I should give my show over like every day. I don't know what that would do to me having a show, but I think that this is a sign. Let's go to some questions from everyone hanging out, and then we're going to try and land this plane. If you got a question, Producer Kat's going to bring the mic, and then we'll bring it back to the speakers to weigh in. Cool. So just your name and the question, yeah.
Hi, my name is Cece Mbumbo. I'm a dancer. I'm also currently studying at Vega. I'm studying a BA in Strategic Brand Communications. And I studied dance and music for 2 years in Cape Town as a ballerina, being the only black ballerina. And that never bothered me ever. I went to an all-girls school, and being black and ballerina as a girl, obviously, never bothered me until I started studying it. And people would always force it into my face, you know, like they'd point it out. Wow, you're a black ballerina. Wow, you're this. Wow, you're tiny. And, you know, like most girls grow up, as you said, that not believing in themselves and not believing that they're pretty and whatever. And I was not like that girl. My friends, no, I had confidence. Yes. Yes. I believed that I was something, and I wasn't a rebel, but, you know, I didn't like the system. Until I started studying my passion, and people started dragging me down so deep that my mom was even shocked as to how deep I was within my emotions, and my confidence literally did a 360 degree turn. And I stopped because I felt like I couldn't do it anymore. And I lied to myself saying that I was okay, but for the longest time I wasn't. And that confidence disappeared completely. And I think what I'd like to say is, no matter how many times we actually feel like we cannot do something, be careful of the people that you surround yourself with. Be careful of what society says to you, especially when you're not with your family or with your close friends, because it's very easy for someone to come and say to you that, look, you're the only black person amongst all these white people. And they won't say, you're not going to do it. But they'll point something out that will make you think that you cannot do it. So don't ever doubt yourself. And if you believe in something, and if you believe that you're in the wrong place and you're doing it at the wrong time, stop. Think about what you're doing. And when you feel like it's the right time and you're in the right place, continue. If it's your passion and something is ruining it, stop and change your route so that you don't stop your passion. Because right now, for 7 months, I haven't danced because I felt like I couldn't do it anymore. I've been dancing since I was 3 years old. I'm now 21. And I haven't danced for 7 months because I felt like I couldn't do it. I changed my route completely. And I feel like I can now take on the world because I changed my route and because I felt like my passion had to stay my passion.
Mm. Okay. Yes, Hi, I'm Nina Mdwaba.
Hey, mom and dad.
I'm joking. firstly, I'd like to say thank you to all of you. You've taught me something amazing, especially seeing a 24-year-old on the panel. Like, I'm like, what am I doing with my life? But I'll get there. Yeah, no, like everything you guys have said has just been absolutely amazing. Kind of similar but different. I've always been a very outspoken, slightly overly expressive child, slash adult, almost there. I mean, I don't necessarily want to make it a black or white thing, because I feel like a lot of girls, whether you're black, white, orange, pink, you've probably gone through this. But recently, I've had to be like the mentor to my little cousin, who's like 5 years old. She's a sassy little thing. And she's loud and she's, you know, nah, I'm a spying. And I remember my uncle coming to me once and saying to me, I worry about Zoe. And so I asked him why. And it's weird because my brother and Zoe and her brother have the same dynamic. They have 2 years apart. So the first thing he says to me is, he goes, Lelo's so quiet and you know, he stays to himself. But Zoe's very loud and she's always so expressive. And I worry that people are not going to like her. So I said, no, but that's not something she needs to worry about now. So he said to me, no, but I know that this is something we've never spoken about, but how was it for you growing up? Because I always had that issue. You know, the uncles always be like, oh, Nina, she's always just trying to get in the conversation. You know, there's old people talking. Why is she always so loud, whatever? And for me, I was always put down when I was younger, because I was told, you know, firstly, children should know their place, especially as a black child, know your place, sit down and be quiet. And secondly, my mother would even say to me, how are you going to find a husband with such a big mouth? And it's funny, it's quite hysterical, actually. I would laugh at it now, you know, in modern times, and say that's really, really funny. But growing up, that also put me down. That made me think that I wasn't allowed to be outspoken. I wasn't allowed to raise my hand in class. I wasn't allowed to ask questions. I wasn't allowed to be myself. And going to private girls' school, if you've been there, you know, girls are mean. And I'm not one to put women down. I love to tell the woman how beautiful they are, how intelligent they are. Like, I'm like, girl, do your thing. But there's nothing worse than a girl looking at you and saying, shame, if only you'd close your mouth. Or if only you'd not talk so much. Or if only you weren't such a smart ass. You know, am I allowed to say that on radio? Yes. Sorry. And that would really upset me, because you tend to put away parts of yourself. You start thinking that maybe if I'm less annoying, maybe if I'm less loud, maybe if I'm less clever, maybe if I don't have the answers all the time, you know, maybe people will like me. And I started dressing down. I started wearing black all the time, because I was like, I don't want to stand out. I don't want people to look at me. I don't want people. And it took away parts of me. And I literally got to a point where I went to my father and I said, I can't stay here anymore. I can't be at the school. Like, I'm so unhappy. And he was like, oh, it's just because you can't deal with girls. And maybe it's not. Maybe it is because of that. I grew up with boys my whole life. You know, I've always had guys who are just like, get over it. You know, do this, get over it. And not to bash other women, but you get into a situation where women are pinned against each other constantly. Even in a private school, you have the top 10 or the top whatever. And yes, girls strive and do the best you can do, but don't go and look at another girl and say, I'm better, because you're going to make her feel like she's less than. And that was an issue for me for a long time, until I moved away. And then I felt, now I can start rebuilding Nina. And I started rebuilding myself slowly but surely. I still have my insecurities. I sit sometimes and I'm like, oh my God, is my lipstick too loud? You know, is that girl looking at me? Like, are my shoes too high? Like, are they clinking too? Yeah. And you become insecure, you know, like, but there's something that I taught myself. Thank you. I taught myself something. Firstly, when you're talking about social encounters, Chloe, you're saying that, you know, excuse me, in every encounter in life, women should not put each other down. I've literally become that annoying girl who'll go to a party and go, hi, I'm Nina. You know, and even if they don't want to talk to you, even if they, you know, give you a look. And then I walked into the bathroom one day. It's the most, what's the word I'm looking for? Refreshing feeling to have someone come back to you and say, thank you for saying hi. Thank you for smiling at me. You know, and it's such a beautiful thing. Because you're sitting there thinking that girl was being stank, but the whole time that girl actually was just as shy as you to say hi. And you went and made her day a little better, you know. And then I was best friends with her the whole night. But, you know, I just, with women, firstly, don't ever step down from your own pedestal. Don't let people tell you you're less than. Don't let people shut you up. Don't let man mansplain his way into your answer being wrong, because it's not wrong. It is not wrong. It is your opinion. You are entitled, and keep it, and keep yourself and preserve yourself, and don't lose parts of yourself because you think that you'd be liked more. Because you're going to find those people who will love you just the way you are, and you will be so happy. And that's just where I am right now.
Do you guys want to say something?
Educate us, girls. Educate us.
Hi, my name is Howie. I actually have a question for you because you're a designer, right? So, like, I have a friend who's a designer, but then she's not, like, really sure, because design is kind of like a dying industry in terms of graphics, kind of. So, like, how do you just decide to become a designer? Like, when, like, what made you pick that field, even though the odds are stacked against you in terms of the apps and technology?
Yeah. Cool. Yeah, Karaba's gonna make her way down to answer the question.
I think it goes back to like what I said. I kind of looked at Maya Angelou, I looked at Ellen Johnson, and I looked at Oprah Winfrey, and there were so many people that probably said the same thing to them. I mean, a female president in Africa, is Africa really ready for that? But this is what she was passionate about. She knew that she could bring about change, and she did what was in her hands, and it seemed to work really well. So I don't think that we should approach it in that graphic design is a dying industry. What is in your hands, and what can you do to bring about influence and bring about change with what you know how to do? So fine art has been around for thousands of years. It's still pretty relevant today. And I don't think graphic design is any different. It's new. A lot of people don't know a lot about it, but that should encourage people to spend more time in almost looking at this African aesthetic that we have. So that's something that we've had for the longest time, but it hasn't really been portrayed in graphic design. That's something new, something that would keep it relevant, something that apps can't really reproduce. I mean, like South Africa, we've got too many idiosyncrasies for any app programmer to put into an app. So I think there's just way too many things that haven't been answered yet with graphic design, and that's why I'm still really passionate about it and illustration. So yeah.
Powerful. We're going to take one more question and then get some closing remarks from our panelists. And then we're going to stop the live stream, but the conversation is going to continue at the Cliff Central Studios. But we're going to wrap the live stream up in a little bit. Let's get one final comment or question, and then we're going to cross to our panelists for some closing words.
Okay, I'm just glad you said comment or question, because I did not have a question. Hello, everyone. Hello to you at the back as well. We see you.
Thank you.
My name is Makaleng Usupeng, and yeah, I did a lot of things that I'm not going to talk about. But basically what I want to say is hearing everybody discuss their stories is actually so interesting, and how one thing you say to someone can actually be the end it all for them and their career. So basically, yay, I studied drama at the Marker Theatre. Life was great. And I grew up as one of those girls. Life was great. Like, yes, I had problems. I wasn't from a well-off family. My dad wasn't Mutepo or whatever, you know, and yay. But the moment I went to high school, I realized there was a problem, you know. And to me, it wasn't a problem with me, but it was a problem with the society I was in, you know. And then I went to further on, and it became weird. Because you walk into a room, people look at you and they expect you to say, "Hi, my name is Shanene or Shaniqua or whoever, but unfortunately, and I live in Soweto," you know? Yes, I have the green eyes. Yes, I have the fair skin that everybody thinks, you get any man you want. Is your boyfriend rich? You know, those are the questions we want. I love my boyfriend dog, so everybody thinks he's rich because I'm yellow and I'm rolling with him, and it's just a whole complicated thing. So I went back to what Shubi was saying, that looking at your society, and I realized that it's the way we also program it, you know. It's the things that we do, you know. Ooh, hashtag bless, I'm blessed. The moment you do that and you tag I'm blessed or whatever, that is the moment where the six-year-old girl ticks in her head that it's okay to say, okay, I'm a blesser, you know. It's okay to have a blesser. So I wrote my play. It's still work in progress. Yes, it was staged at the Soweto Theatre a couple of years back, but it's not perfect. It's not saying what I wanted to say. And I'm glad that you saw the elections, you saw the results, stuff everybody. I'm just happy that there is shared power. And because there's shared power, I feel that it's time that we embrace our history, we embrace who we are. We embrace that little rainbow nation and that little segregated community that wanted to mix with everybody and form people like myself. And what I want to say is also, let's not bash ourselves. Let's not, like, this is the conversation I was having with my mom. My mom would say, yeah, Luna, you know your generation is that generation. You're so busy trying to be Beyonce, Rihanna, that if, like, Zimbabwe had to decide we're going to attack Soweto, hey, you guys are screwed. Nothing's going to happen, you know? So then the hashtag Fees Must Fall campaign happened, and I was like, future to my generation, we have a future.
Powerful, powerful. We're gonna wrap the live stream. The conversation at Cliff Central at our studios is gonna continue. We've got one final question to each of our panelists, and it goes along the lines of just a final thought. And I want us to really make it a moment. So producer Kat's gonna pass the mic to Nomzamo over there, and while she thinks about it, producer Kat, I need you to cut the lights in the hub. Because when you have to have a moment like this, you got to cut the lights, you got to get the energy right. It's one final thought, and it's really the conversation that you want young women in South Africa to have when they're brushing their teeth tonight, when they're looking in the mirror. Just one final thought. Whoever wants to kick it off, we'll hear from each of you on that. We've turned the lights off. We're trying to get as close to an Oprah moment as we possibly can here. Let's see what we can do. Who's up first?
I guess I'll start. Karabo's first. Well, I'd like to challenge you, because someone challenged me 2 years ago, and that literally changed the trajectory of where my career was going. And she said to me, what is the legacy that you are leaving? And that really started putting a lot of attention, or brought my eyes to why I'm doing what I'm doing. And I'm doing it for the next generation to come. I am building my own agency to become a template for the future creative girl, and so that she could maybe have a template to work from. And I would like her to even be above where I am going to be in the next 10 or 15 years. So yeah, this is just a challenge to all women. What is the legacy that you are going to be leaving behind?
Is this the youngest or oldest? Do people want to reveal the ages? I was actually going to say the same thing. But I think for me, more than anything, it's just stay informed. Stay informed. Stay informed. When they say knowledge is power, it moves from knowledge is power to power is power. And you don't want to live in the society with no ounce of power. Power is the one thing that you're going to need to survive. We all need it. Women need it more. Stay informed. Knock on doors. Google. Spare time. Read. So that you can hold a conversation, you know? And you're not just the pretty face in the room, you know? So that people can hear your voice. And your voice has a place in the room. Knowledge is power. Power is power.
And power is power. Yeah, I think for me it would be, don't be scared to stand up for who you are. You know what's inside of you. Don't let anyone tell you that you're anything less than what you are. Be the change that you want to see change in the communities, in the society around you, because you can be a change agent. And I agree with the power, I think the knowledge as well. Don't be scared to be teachable. Learn from other people. Learn from what you see out there, because there's a lot of information and it's so freely available. And don't be scared to, it doesn't matter what age you are, if you want to go back to being a ballerina, nothing is going to stop you. Who put the date on that? Who puts the timeline on when you need to get married? When you need, if you this age, then you can be an MD. If you're that age, then you can be the next CEO or whoever. Yeah. I think it's the power sits inside of you, and only you know when to release it and when you need to put it out there. And don't be scared to do it, and don't let anyone ever, ever, ever put you down. Be great.
Yeah. My faith is everything to me. My God is everything to me. And whether you kneel, pray, or bow, or whether you go to church or a mosque or a temple or a synagogue, we have to believe in a higher power. I think family is life. The home is a treasure, girls. That's the only place where people will love you unconditionally. And it's a privilege to be a daughter, to be a wife, to be a mother, to be an aunt, to be a sister. I'm a social activist, I think, more than anything in my life. I think that's my purpose. So I have to believe in the best of another woman and in other people. I have to see the best in other people. I'm a lover of children. So I need the appreciation of children because they need our protection. I have to earn respect, especially of honest critics, because my work is my identity. So that's where I need to push, that's where I need to grow, that's where I need to learn. But also, as my sisters always say, you have to have a teachable spirit. School is never out for the professional. And education is the inoculation to disruption. Do you understand? Education disrupts. So read, admire, inspire, aspire, and learn. That's what we all said. That's for me.
Ladies and gentlemen, that has been a CliffCentral.com presentation, Power of 60. Thank you very much to our speakers, Nomzamo Mbata, Hlubi Mboya, Arnold, Karabo Moletsane, and Catherine Botma. Thank you very much. Hellman on CliffCentral.com.